At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The Idaho 4 case has taken yet another dramatic turn now that Brian Koberger has pled guilty and the gag order has been lifted. We're going to get into some of that. And there's a lot that is going to be coming out now that the gag order has been lifted. Requests are in. People are talking. And we're now going to, for the first time, see behind that curtain that was put up so early on in this investigation. And I don't know that it's going to make any of us better understand what happened. But it's going to, I guess, put some pieces together. And I never going to use the word closure here because families are never going to get closure on something like this. But maybe just have some of those unanswered questions answered. And the real horrible part about all that is the fact that I don't know that you'd want to know some of the answers that they're finding out. We're not here to get gruesome or grisly or anything like that. We're just going to report the facts of this and kind of move on because it is a big part of this case and what we're starting to find out. We're not going to go into great detail on things either, okay? So just know that. For months, details unfolding this tragedy have been kept tightly sealed. Actually, for years, really. Leaving many questions unanswered. But with the recent developments, previously undisclosed information has now begun surfacing, offering deeper insights into the crime, the investigation, and its profound impact on all of those involved. I'd like to invite you, if you want to give your thoughts on this in the comment section on our YouTube page. As you're watching this, please do so. If you're listening, check it out, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube, so you can join in that conversation there. So, some context and background in case you're new to this. Brian Koberger, former criminology PhD student, pled guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students, Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Xander Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin. By pleading guilty, Koberger avoided the possibility of the death penalty, instead receiving four consecutive life sentences without parole. Although the plea brought legal closure, it left many unanswered questions, especially concerning his motive and the circumstances surrounding the murders. Now, with the gag order lifted, new details from law enforcement, the victims' families, and others involved, parties have begun emerging, painting a fuller, yet still deeply troubling picture of the events. Start talking about what law enforcement has revealed post-gag order. Authorities have begun revealing details previously withheld from the public. Chief Anthony Dallinger of the Moscow Police Department has publicly stated that investigators are preparing to release extensive details from the sealed files. Among the expected disclosures are in-depth forensic analysis, cellular tracking data showing Koberger's movements on the night of the murders, and detailed autopsy reports. Chief Dallinger clarified that despite exhaustive investigation efforts, authorities never conclusively established a clear motive. Another significant revelation came from Gary Jenkins, former Pullman police chief, now at Washington State University. Jenkins recalled interviewing Koberger for a law enforcement internship months before the murders. Remember hearing about this? Wanted to go get that gig, and that didn't, you know, work out for him. During that interview, Jenkins noted Koberger's lack of interpersonal skills and inability to establish rapport, factors that ultimately led to him not being offered the position. This insight into Koberger's character, it offers a rare pre-crime glimpse into his behavior and personality, which may shed light on his mindset leading up to the murders. And some families have responded as well. The reactions to the plea deal and subsequent lifting of the gag order have been mixed, deeply emotional. Steve and Christy Gonzalez, parents of victim Kaylee Gonzalez, have publicly expressed frustration with the plea agreement and the lack of detailed information shared with families during the investigation. In interviews since the gag order was lifted, Steve Gonzalez highlighted troubling information allegedly disclosed to him privately by investigators, specifically regarding Koberger's disturbing online searches involving violent and explicit content. The revelation raised serious questions about potential underlying motives and the brutality of her death as well. It does make you question, and it does make you think, and it does make you go, why couldn't we have just gone through with this one and given this guy the death penalty? You're in Steve Gonzalez's shoes. I don't know that you'd ever see it any other way. I don't fault him for that. I joined him in that. I agree. In contrast, Ethan Chapin's parents, Jim and Stacy, have supported the plea deal, highlighting their relief at avoiding a trial. They emphasize their appreciation for the finality the plea provides, sparing Ethan's surviving siblings and friends from having to testify and relive traumatic experiences in a courtroom setting. And I can completely understand that one, too. There's no right, there's no wrong, everybody. And the only people who have a say in that are those families. There's no right way to do any of this. The stark contradiction, the family's reaction, both underscoring the deeply personal nature of grief and the complex ways everybody tries to find closure. There's a lot of unanswered questions out there too, and investigative challenges. One significant unanswered question remains the potential existence of a souvenir taken from the crime scene. Reports from surviving roommates indicate that Koberger was seen carrying an unknown item out of the house. Despite extensive searches, authorities have yet to locate that item, deepening the mystery around his actions. Remember, one of them said it looked like he had a vacuum cleaner or something with him, which, who knows? Furthermore, despite overwhelming evidence confirming Koberger's guilt, including DNA evidence, cell phone tracking, and eyewitness descriptions, authorities have been unable to clarify definitively what drove him to commit the crimes. Koberger himself, through his guilty plea, provided no explanation, leaving investigators and the community grappling with speculation and uncertainty. Sentencing is imminent. We'll be bringing it to you here live. The courtroom is preparing for emotional victim impact statements from family members. These statements are going to be providing families with an important, albeit painful, opportunity to confront Koberger directly and publicly articulate their immense loss and suffering caused by his actions. Legally, Koberger's plea includes waiving his right to appeal, effectively ensuring he will remain incarcerated for life, although the technical possibility of appeal exists due to legal precedent. Some indicate any appeal attempt would almost certainly fail given the strength of the evidence and the plea agreement itself. F that precedent. But that's a scary thing with a case like this. time goes on, people move on. He's pretty young. Now, the whole general population that doesn't remember a thing about this case. And he'll be an old man, maybe a wise old man in prison, educating people. And he turned his life around. And you have minds that suddenly think, oh, yeah, this guy should get out. Well, many of us are dead at that point. Never say never. And I think Koberger might be doing just that. But also never say never to, you know, being one hell of a target once you get behind those bars, Bri. Looking ahead, the lifting of the gag order is going to be resulting in a lot more in the coming weeks. Maybe answering more lingering questions for the victims' families and for all of us who've been following this case from the beginning. We'll cover that sentencing here on the channel live. So be sure to, stop by when it's going on. We'll be giving commentary as that unfolds this week. There you go. Let me know in the comment sections what your thoughts are on the new pieces that are coming out. We're going to go deeper this week into a lot of them and a lot of very specific things and statements and interviews as well. Howard Bloom also scheduled to be with us again as well to discuss the lifting of the gag order and what he's found thus far and what is to come. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.